Hey, Scott, how are you?
Good morning, Sheldon.
Good morning,
I'm doing
Scott.
Great. How are you?
Good. This is our pre-recorded version of our show. So it is not live for those people that were hoping to listen in.
For all of Sheldon's fans, unfortunately, you cannot call and talk to Sheldon live on this show, unfortunately. This is our Saturday, May like 28th show, I think is what it will be.
But it's actually Sunday, May 22nd.
Oh, man. Time.
Time warp.
Even though it's an illusion, it's messing with me right now.
It's a time-space warp we're going to play with.
It is. And this is, of course, Radio Welcome, and this is where we talk about A Course in Miracles. And
things related to The Course in Miracles?
Things related and how to apply it in your life. What is it? What's forgiveness?
Other teachings that might carry the same message and theme as Course in Miracles, which is universal.
That's correct.
We might draw from other sources. Scott.
Sheldon.
So I'm just opening the doorway there for you, brother.
Hey, thanks, brother. I appreciate that. As always, we get along so well. I love
that. I got your back.
We've got each other's back.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so we're going to jump into the show this week. I think this week is just going to be a multiverse of topics around A Course in Miracles. I think we're going to be talking about the course, quoting the course, quoting things that are not from the course, and rolling it into applying the ideas into real life or the illusion of real life. How does that sound, Sheldon?
Sounds awesome. It gives us an opportunity to talk about whatever it is that comes up since we truthfully don't have much of a structure rolling into this bad boy. Just going to go with it.
We're just going to roll with it. We're going to connect with spirit and see what flows out.
We kind of had we were kind of trying to force a structure a little bit. We were kind of saying, hey, what's coming up? And we were like, hey, nothing's coming up. Let's just do it.
And I heard a booming voice in my head say, don't go with structure.
Freeform it.
Just go with it.
Did you see that Steven Spielberg quote?
Yeah, I've shared it. Yeah,
did I share that? Did I get it from you? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's go look at that real quick.
Steven Spielberg is basically saying, "Listen to the Holy Spirit," and that's what he tells his children to do. He doesn't use that phrase, the Holy Spirit, but he talks about the quiet whisper.
That's right.
Beneath the loud clamor of the mind, and that you have to quiet your mind to listen to the quiet whisper deep within your soul as to what it is that you are here to do or what you want to do or for guidance and direction. And he's like, that's what I always teach my children to do.
Yep. And it's kind of funny how all of that happens, even as life may not be whispering. Like right now, I think my wife might be burning something in the oven. If you can hear that.
Is that you guys?
You hear that beeping noise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the Holy Spirit actually trying to say, yes, listen to that. And maybe sometimes it is loud.
The Holy Spirit alarm clock.
Sometimes he's saying, pay attention to your dreams and pay attention to what you're cooking. And
usually it's a still, quiet voice.
Usually it is. But yeah, I think that was a good point. I think there's lots of cool stuff floating around in the internet ethers, and that was a really good one.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It was awesome.
Yep. Pay attention to the quiet voice whispering in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is how the Holy Spirit works. It's typically not going to be an in-your-face deal. Although for some people it can happen, but for most
it won't argue with you and you know, berate you and all of those things. It will just whisper. Mm-hmm. And that's generally for most of us how it starts. It's a very quiet whisper. So the voice that argues its rightness is the egoic voice. And so that if you're listening to the argument, that one will always win. Because the gentle, still, quiet voice is a voice of love and acceptance of you exactly where you are, right? So it will never argue that you need to do anything differently than what you want to do. So if you want to do that, then be like, okay, we're here to love you anyway.
That's right. And I think what I find interesting, at least my, experience of understanding spirit, Holy Spirit, and the path back to God or heaven, is it's like very gentle, pretty quiet, and it's just pretty, it's usually says the same thing over and over again. But the ego is always looking for the cool new thing to try or the cool, mm-hmm. colorful thing off on the side that wants you to go down, kind of bunny trail down, right?
Right. That's why we've always said that's why the Course in Miracles is so thick, right? Because mm-hmm. the ego gets complicated.
Yep.
The teaching itself is really simple.
Yep.
It's all the little bunny trails and avenues that your mind wants to wander down that the Course is addressing.
Exactly.
Because it has to start with where you are, where you believe you are, right? In that mind stream of illusory games and wackiness. So it has to kind of take you where you are and teach you how to think differently, teach you how to access that still quiet voice, the Holy Spirit.
Yep. And that's one of the big outcomes, I think, that's really important. And I think, you know, if you think about like the historical ascended masters or someone like a Jesus, that, you know, my understanding was that like a Jesus was so reliant on God and the Holy Spirit that, you know, just he couldn't do anything without the voice or without mm-hmm. joining with God.
First, always, yeah.
Yep.
Didn't they say that in, was it Artin and Persa described him that way? In the Disappearance of the Universe, Gary Renard's book? I think that's where I remember hearing that, I think, where they said it wasn't a weakness. It was his strength. There was a strength mm-hmm. that he drew from, but it almost looked like it because he didn't want to do anything without first connecting and knowing what the, you know, Father's will was for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was always checking that first.
And that's a beautiful way to start the day, live your day, and end the day.
Absolutely.
Connected up. And that's where I know I personally need a lot of reminders.
I was just kind of laughing. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yep. That is the trick.
We try our best.
Yep. I think it's, you know, at least for me, I know I can start the day out and get connected and feel good. And then I could just show up to work and all it takes is one email or one encounter and forget.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So are we going to read the quotes?
Let's go ahead and do that. We'll do quotes, we'll do a guided meditation, and then we'll go back into to chatting some more.
To random chatting about whatever comes up.
Random chatting. I like that. Do you want to do your quote first, Sheldon, or should I do?
I'll do mine.
Okay.
Since mine is actually from The Course in Miracles.
I'm just going to rub that one in, huh?
This is what this show is all about.
Okay.
Here we go. It's chapter 24, The Goal of Specialness, and I'm feeling pretty special right now. Chapter 24, section 2, The Treachery of Specialness, and it's paragraph 3. And it says, specialness is the idea of sin made real. Sin is impossible even to imagine without this base. For sin arose from it and out of nothingness, an evil flower with no roots at all. Here is the self-made Savior, the Creator, who creates unlike the Father, and which made his Son like to itself and not like unto him. His special sons are many, never one, and each one in exile from himself and him of whom they are part. Nor do they love the oneness which created them as one with him. They chose their specialness instead of heaven and instead of peace and wrapped it carefully in sin to keep it safe from the truth. So that's on page 502 from the Foundation for Inner Peace version of it. It's kind of long and I, anyway. So I was reading it here. In the book, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That'll work. And then as I'm reading out loud, I'm like, it might not work.
Well, what initially pulled you to read that today?
A bookmark.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Jacqueline's book had it bookmarked.
Sometimes it could be as subtle as that.
So, but the idea of specialness versus uniqueness, I think, is something that maybe we can talk about a little. Mm-hmm. Because I think that there's a distinction that probably would be good to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, and I think because especially uniqueness, I think, is touted as a big value in our society. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we should talk about that stuff. I think all of that would be something worth talking about.
Okay.
And then what was your quote?
So my quote isn't as special as yours because it's not from A Course in Miracles. It's from The Art of Peace.
Should we judge it harshly then?
Of course. So the Art of Peace was written by Morihei Ueshiba, who's the actual, he came up with the martial art Aikido, which if you translate the word Aikido or Aikido, it can mean the way of harmonious spirit, which is really interesting because most people, when they think of martial arts, they think of something that's aggressive and about defeating your enemy or the art of war, which is why I think he wrote The Art of Peace, because I think he's trying to show the feminine side to using energy. And there's one quote, there's several quotes actually in this book that really remind me of A Course in Miracles. When I was reading this book,
His martial art was very feminine, if you think about it.
It's extremely feminine. It wasn't about attack. It was all about...
It was very receptive.
Yep.
I never thought of it like that, but that's actually really cool. Sorry to interrupt. But
yeah, no worries. I took a little bit of Aikido. I actually have the tattoo on my arm because it reminds me of the energy part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it's all about taking energy in, transforming it, and using it, not necessarily against the person, but to use it as a way to try to create more harmony, which is really beautiful.
It's like receptivity, blending, right? And then redirecting.
Exactly. Like one of the moves that they teach you is if someone comes at you to punch you or even with a knife, instead of, you know, some moves are you take them down and kind of go, hey, do you really want to do this? But one of them is literally you spin them around with you and you are walking next to each other side by side.
And you say, hey, brother.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, seriously.
It gives them an opportunity to choose once again.
Wow, you look really angry. What's going on? How can
What's
I help
up,
you?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So this is just one of the quotes from the book, The Art of Peace. And this one is, love is like the rays of the sun, shining left, right, up, down, front, back, bathing everything in light. You know, and,
wow.
Yeah. And this is coming from a guy that is a martial arts master father.
That is awesome.
Yep. And that's just one example of many others in here that struck me as like, wow, this could fall right into A Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yep. I'll read one more because they're pretty short.
Cool.
This was page 167. To truly implement the art of peace, you must be able to sport freely in the manifest, hidden, and divine realms. Short and sweet.
Wow. Sport freely in the manifest.
In the manifest.
Hidden.
Hidden and divine realms.
In the divine realms. Yep. That is being of this earth, but not of it. In the earth, but not of it.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. That's cool.
Yep. Cool.
Well, it all points to the same place, right?
It does.
Yeah. That is cool. I love that.
Love and peace, harmony. They're all trying to get back to the same source.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, I guess maybe we should try and do a little connection to that space.
Let's connect.
Are you ready, Sheldon?
I am.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go. So go ahead. For those listening, if you're in a space that you can close your eyes and get into a deep meditation, great. If you are doing things like driving or working, then we'd recommend doing this later. You can download the recording later. But go ahead and just get comfortable seated or maybe laying down. And go ahead and close your eyes and take a nice deep breath in and just slowly let it out. Just allow yourself to just keep repeating a deep breath in and slowly releasing for just a few times. Just consider as you breathe in, you're breathing in just relaxation, any healing you may need, peace, love, and support. And that as you're breathing out, you're just breathing out maybe anything that's creating tension in your body, breathing out maybe any negative thoughts or harsh thoughts that are going through your mind or have been going through your mind. Maybe even just imagine the Holy Spirit now in front of you, taking all those things that you're breathing out that are not helpful for you or helpful for your brothers and sisters, and just taking that in for you and transforming it, just creating love and peace out of everything that you give to the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, and to guide you down that path of more peace and love. In fact, just consciously call in if you haven't felt the presence yet, but just call in Holy Spirit by saying, Holy Spirit, come. And just notice for you if you might see something, or maybe you feel something, or maybe you hear something, or maybe all of it. Just notice for you right now how you connect with Holy Spirit. And notice how comfortable you feel around this, or maybe not so comfortable, and all of it is just fine. But just really invite this energy in. Just around your space. Notice your heart center. And allow this entity, this aspect, this energy, the Holy Spirit, to just connect in through your heart center. And in whatever way is comfortable for you, easy for you, most enjoyable for you. And enjoy that connection now through your heart center, and allow this connection to now just expand all throughout your body. And even outside of your body, to what might feel like the energy around your body, just allow it to fill up completely. All the while, imagining a connection with Holy Spirit and love and peace. And allow this connection to now reveal a bridge between you, a lighted bridge between you and the gates of heaven. Showing you that this is your true home. And allow yourself now to walk along this bridge with the Holy Spirit. And now walking right up to the gates of heaven and allowing the gates to open widely. It may even be just a symbol. Just now allow yourself to be fully bathed by the love, the light, the peace of heaven. And just sit and bask in this glow, in this space. And at the same time, notice if there's anything in your body, in your emotions, in your mind that may feel a little discomfort, or maybe it could be a notion of unworthiness, or maybe it's thoughts of situations or people that knock you out of your own sense of peace. And if that's the case, hand those thoughts, those feelings, those images now over into heaven so that they can be transformed and healed for you. And allow the Holy Spirit to do this for you if it may seem difficult to take these images, these thoughts from you and heal them. and allow this conduit that you form to always be there. This is how you can allow any negative thoughts or energies or judgments towards others to simply come in and come out through you and allow them to be healed automatically. There's nothing else you need to do. Just remind yourself that this is naturally how you can be. Good. Now allow this feeling or image of heaven, the bridge, to just gently fade as you return your attention back to where you may be seated or laying down, and just knowing that this connection is always here for you. It does not go away, but it may seem to fade slightly while you're back in what seems to be this reality in this body. And again, still maintain your attention on this place, this world, on heaven, as you slowly begin to move your body around, and then when you're ready to open your eyes and just try to maintain that connection for as long as you possibly can, knowing that it will always be here for you. Sheldon, let me know when you're fully back.
I don't want to be fully back.
I don't want to. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good sign.
There you go.
Anything you care to share before we move on, Sheldon?
No, it was beautiful. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
I think, you know, surrendering things and letting go of things and not having to be the doer and the fixer of things can be tricky. Mm-hmm. So, and that for me has happened in layers, different things that you feel, oh, I let go of that, it's cool. And then they come back and again, you know, years later or whatever, months later in a different form, mm-hmm. but it's the same energy and you end up doing it again and again.
Yeah.
So I do think that's that onion peeling back thing. It's natural and normal. It's trusting on the level that you are able and ready to trust.
That is very true. Yeah. And I think it might show up differently. Well, not might. It will probably most definitely show up differently for each person.
Right.
The different ways to test that level of trust within yourself and mm-hmm. outside of yourself. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that was letting go of things and just feeling the trust expand within you mm-hmm. and the peace and then the love and all of that stuff. Just feeling that energy, the vibration, kind of allowing that to flood you in and take you. There's a trust in that.
Yes, definitely. And I think, you know, we've talked about this a lot in the last year. Like for me, practicing this approach, even in like a corporate environment, has taught me more about trusting like the Holy Spirit, because this is a world where, like, at least for me, it's like I taught myself to treat it really seriously, you know, like, hey, this is my career, this is my job, this is a big company. And yet the more I invite the Holy Spirit in, it seems like some pretty amazing things happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm learning to trust that I don't have to do all this, and that it can be, you know, at least situations can become a lot more harmonious or peaceful by right. handing it over to the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yet that, you know, to the, in, for me, it seems like it's to the degree in which you're ready to accept it mm-hmm. and imbibe it and embody it. That's what it feels like. And yeah. energetically, it feels like relaxation in the body.
Yeah, I think that's one of the key things, is relaxation is the first good step towards allowing and accepting, you know, who you are and who everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
Like when your body's tight or your emotions have you kind of tightened up or fearful, then it's going to be really hard to not side with the ego.
Right.
Which happens from time to time, from what I've been told.
Once in a while. Some people over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those people.
Those
yeah,
people.
And so... and you wanted to talk about uniqueness versus specialness.
Well, I was wanting to... I do think that there's... That we all have... Well, this is one of the things Colleen and, you know, with Arts Unity Movement or a nonprofit, and we've been talking about, and little plug, we do have our performance. Well, people will be hearing this on Saturday, May 28th. We'll have a performance that Saturday night, and then the following Sunday, the following Friday and Sunday, Saturday. So that'll be June 4th and 5th. So it's just four performances, which they'll have already passed by the time they hear this, would be Friday, Saturday, May 27th, 28th, and then Friday, Saturday, June 4th and 5th, I think it is.
Very good. And they can check out more information where?
On artsunitymovement.com.
Okay.
The show is called Expressions of One. So we talk about that in the performance and in the show and kind of at AUM and that we all are unique in the sense of a signature, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, how do I choose to express love? And the way in which you, it's just like our pathway is always unique, right? We have this exact same teaching, the exact same 365 lessons, and we could even do them in a military fashion exactly at the same time together, side by side, and your experience with it would be completely different than mine. And that would be your pathway back versus mine. And even in that point of absolute oneness, well, I guess the return back to that point of absolute oneness through this expression of this desire to express love, there will be a signature of that. Even if we said, hey, let's give hugs, you know, the way in which you would express that hugging would be different than the way in which I would do it. So there is this sense of unique expression and signatures, is what Colleen likes to talk about it. But the distinction into specialness to me is that there's absolutely no more value or correctness or whatever you want to call it. There's no difference in the love that you're expressing than I'm expressing, regardless of the form in which you do it. Mm-hmm. Right? That my way of hugging is not right and yours is wrong. Mm. That it's all expressions of the one, which is what the show is all about. It's all, it's like the Holy Spirit talks about that it will, you know, only love is real, right? That only the love is what is eternal. And that love, being imperfect because it's here in this dimension and form, will be perfected by the Holy Spirit. And that is what's kept, right? That is what is added to the whole love. That is like a reflection of it or an extension of it. That's what's added. And everything else is just let go because that's all the illusion. So I think that there's that, and I kind of looked at, you know, we've said this before, it's like the aspects of the rainbow, the color bands, you know, well, after it hits the prism and it's differentiated, it's, you know, diffused into these spectrums of light, it looks, they're all different colors, right? Mm-hmm. But each one of them is necessary to the whole. You can't pull one out. And when you go back and before the prism into the oneness, it's just white light. And yet the pink band and the blue band and the yellow band are all there. And where are they within the one white light? They're everywhere. So there's no, and yet you can't have the white light without each and every one of those bands, right? And so that kind of idea is what I always look to when I'm thinking about uniqueness, or, you know, what is your expression of that? It's an aspect of the one light, and it's your own beautiful signature, but it's no different and no better and no more, you know, valuable to the one light than any other aspect. It's like no frequency is any different than the other. It's like a note, right, in music. Mm-hmm. You know, is C better than A? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Is the C note better than the A note? Absolutely not. You can't make music without each and every one of them. But does it sound differently? Does it express itself differently? Sure. You know, but you need them all or you can't make music. And it's kind of like that. It's like frequency, vibration, light, diffraction, radiation. It's all of that stuff is the same. It's all tied back into this oneness of vibration, light, energy. So yeah, it has signatures and things, but they're all held in the oneness. Mm-hmm. And they're all held equally, right? So the C note isn't better than the A note, although you may think it is. No, you know what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I was trying to differentiate. Mm-hmm. The specialness is when you start thinking one is better than the other.
Right.
That's when you're getting into judgment.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way I look at it too is maybe from a little bit different angle is that while we're in this illusion, kind of like the software program, every aspect plays its part so that the ego can eventually learn it is better to be in a non-dualistic state. So it is better to have the notes blended into one or the colors blended into one.
Mm-hmm.
But until the collective mind reaches that state, it needs to play with the uniqueness of each note, the uniqueness mm-hmm. of each color, and playing mm-hmm. with the combination of them until eventually it makes sense that it should all just blend into one.
Mm-hmm. And let's all play together.
And let's all play. Can't we all just get along?
Can't we all just play together?
That's right.
Why do you have to keep stealing my crayons? No, but yeah, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Yeah, and thanks for mentioning the Arts Unity Movement group, and you also lead a Course in Miracles study group with AUM, correct?
And you'll be excited to know that I just signed up for internet access, 4G Sprint internet access for the nonprofit center.
Wow.
So we are one step closer to making the Course in Miracles study group available for people to Skype into.
Wow, that will be exciting.
So we have a big TV. We just got to get a little camera, something like that. I don't know what we need.
I've heard you need a computer.
We have a computer.
Hey, all right.
Donated computer, donated TV. I think we need
someone to donate a webcam.
A webcam. That's what we need. A webcam, and then okay. We just need to get it, basically.
Okay.
So you have the webcam, and we've checked this out. After all these delays, right? Mm-hmm. I finally Google, you know, internet access for nonprofits, and there's this place, and it does it for hardware's like $90, $110, $120 for the whole year.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, count me in. I can't wait to participate with your study group.
Yeah. So
Hopefully there'll be others that want to join in.
I'm going to move it. I'm going to move it forward. So it's kind of cool. It's like a new phase. You've been kicking me in the butt for years, literally, right?
You make it sound like I'm an abusive friend.
A supportive friend. A
supportive, abusive friend.
Support. Here's your support.
That hides behind A Course in Miracles to spread my violence.
Cool. But sometimes that's how it seems like things work, right?
Yeah. I think that's why, yeah, like, I mean, we jokingly talk about, like, kick in the butt, right? There is masculine energy out there that can be used to help, just like feminine. It's just everything can be used for poison or medicine.
Yeah. And then, you know, I don't think it's not so much what you do, it's where you do it from. So it's like what you do being the externalized action, manifestation, where you do it from being, are you doing it from a place of love and compassion, or are you doing it from a place of judgment and, you know, egoic judgment and accusation and attack? And so sometimes the expression can seem verbally harsh or strong, right? Masculine energy, like you're talking about. Sometimes that's what the person needs. And sometimes the most loving thing to do is to do that.
That's part of it. And I think, again, once you open up to, you know, that whisper of the Holy Spirit, I mean, you do tend to find things that, in my opinion, go beyond coincidence. Like, it's just, I think you're shown signs like, hey, you're definitely on the right path. And if you side the Holy Spirit, I'll keep reminding you, and I mean I as in the Holy Spirit, will keep reminding you, keep going, right? Like, here's an example. You know, like, sometimes while we're talking, Sheldon, I'll just kind of randomly thumb through a course section and go, and just go, I wonder if I randomly pick on this, what it'll mean. So I want to read to you, this is lesson 342. This is like the italicized prayer. But I'm just already took a quick glance at it. And to me, it's already relating to stuff we've just talked about just on this show. So this is what it says. I thank you, Father, for your plan to save me from the hell I made. It is not real, and you have given me the means to prove its unreality to me. The key is in my hand, and I have reached the door beyond which lies the end of dreams. I stand before the gate of heaven, wondering if I should enter in and be at home. Let me not wait again today. Let me forgive all things, and let creation be as you would have it be and as it is.
And there's some,
but yeah, it's just, I don't know. Stuff like that just is like, yeah, stop forgetting to apply this.
Like,
we are all supported if we're just working with Holy Spirit and walking down the path of true forgiveness, right?
That's downright freaky, isn't it?
Yeah. Freaky and yet beautiful.
Beautiful.
Right?
It's just awesome. Like, yeah. Like, wow.
Keep doing this because you're supported, right?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Wow. Cool, cool, cool.
Yes. So I don't know if I interrupted your flow, but I thought that was kind of a cool thing.
That's awesome. And I'm glad you did. And there was some kind of flow going that got stopped in its tracks. It's beautiful though, right?
You got Aikido'd in the face?
I got Aikido'd onto my back.
Oh, no.
Looking at the sky going, yeah.
Sorry, brother.
That's awesome. you know what it was? I got it.
Okay, good.
We were talking about, you know, not what you do, where you do it from. And there was a guy who posted in one of these, it was either A Course in Miracles or Way of Mastery, one of those Facebook things. And he, you know, a guy had been, he was talking about being in at work and a guy coming into the work and being super abusive and berating him. Like, literally, like, swearing at him and berating him, like, right in front of everybody. And he was trying to practice, quote-unquote, peace and love. So he's trying to practice peace and love. And then at some point, he says, I'm not going to take this anymore. And he just, like, says, F you back to the, get the hell out of here. I'm not going to take your crap or whatever, you know. And kicks the guy out of his cubicle or whatever, right? And then he was posting this whole scenario, feeling bad and guilty and beating himself up for having not been of the Christ light or whatever. I wasn't embodying peace in the moment. And it was very interesting because I actually, and I never reply or get involved in any of those comment threads, right? But I actually did say what I just, we said, it's not what you do, it's where you do it from. And maybe the most loving thing that you did for everybody involved, which includes you, right, to this guy, includes you in that love. You are included in that love. And loving yourself maybe meant, I'm not going to allow this to happen to me. Right? Because we are here in this form of seemingly separation. And you have to be able to love yourself first before you can love somebody else, right? So, so maybe the most loving thing you did for everyone involved in that moment was love yourself.
Yep, exactly.
Enough to say, I won't allow this energy around me anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and Jeshua has this beautiful, and I've probably said it before because I love it, was the gardening thing where he says, you know, if you're a gardener planting a garden, you had little tiny sprouts. Would you not build a fence around them until the sprouts grew strong enough that they could bear fruit for even those who didn't respect the garden?
Beautiful.
You know, it's just so beautiful. Like, you're like, wow, right? At some point, you don't need a fence because you are a pillar of light, and you know, it doesn't matter. You're so radiant, you're so dialed in, you're so connected, you're so rock solid and all of that, that it, you know, nothing affects your beingness anymore. But at the point when we're here on this planet dealing with all of this stuff that comes at us constantly, right, that you have to learn to love yourself first and receive that love for yourself first, and that might require you to build a little fence.
Yeah, and it's temporary, right? It's like temporary. Training wheels. You're just putting some training wheels on, and yeah, right? Exactly. There's a practical point in taking care of yourself, loving yourself, because
absolutely.
Yeah, if you can't do that, then you know, I think there's this energy of people thinking like, well, I need to be like the Bible tells me or Mother Teresa, and I guess I need to be humble and meek, and you know, what that looks like for most people is just let people walk all over them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at some level, if you're not coming from a place of total lack of fear and total love, then at some level it's going to do harm to you, which is mm-hmm. doing harm to the greater you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a life lesson for the ego to learn.
Yep.
Which is sometimes there's a lot of love in saying no.
Yeah. It could be the most loving thing you could possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful thing. It's not a negative, right?
Right. And then maybe the next day it is negative. I mean,
and there is that aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is that aspect of, and Bishop Michael talks about that, you know, the kingdom and the power and the glory. It's like there's power.
Mm-hmm.
Because power is an aspect of love. And it, so it can have the yang aspect like we were talking about, and it can look like a kick in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's from love and it has that strength, it's still love, right?
Yep.
It can be an aspect of that, and that can be necessary. And so that's what you do to me.
That was your whole
where it
point.
All started from.
You
kicking me in the butt. Right?
Well, yeah, I think there's a difference of like when someone gets kicked, like, to the point of being beaten up, right?
Sure.
Then that's more of a negative thing,
right?
Versus if it's just like a wake up, like, hey, then it could be different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Sheldon. I mean, do you feel loved when you get kicked in the butt?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
From you.
just from you.
Well, I you know what I mean? I know the intention, right?
Yeah. No, I, yeah.
Yeah, I know the intention, and you've done it enough time over the years.
Again, I sound like I'm a violent person.
No, but you know, in that whole process, even to where the point where we're sitting here talking about this stuff right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of encouragement from you over the years, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So.
And because there is love there, right? And
yeah.
Like for me. And I think everyone would love to have like a champion in their corner, right? It's sort of like, I know I feel I get this way where I'll kind of get down on myself and be like, oh man, I totally screwed up. I didn't do that the way I wanted to. I should have done that a little bit faster or better. But then sometimes it's nice to have someone in your corner going, hey man, I see the bigger you. And that's
mm-hmm.
what you're not seeing right now.
Right. That's beautiful. And that's seeing the face of the Christ, right?
Yeah.
In your brother,
yep.
And
seeing them, yeah, as just pure spirit that can do whatever the heck they want to do, even while they're in this body in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And it does seem, you know, the soul families,
mm-hmm.
soul groups, that there are those people that while we're here in this dimension, right, while we're here experiencing these experiences as if, you know, seemingly separated and all that, at this level, that there are those affinity groups or whatever you want to call them that you feel drawn and connected to.
Yes.
And that, you know, Brian Weiss talks about that in Many Lives, Many Masters and some of his other books about reincarnation, right? He talks about soul groups coming in together to heal together. Ultimately, it's still about love and forgiveness and returning to oneness. But that sometimes there's layers. We talk about layers of healing, layers of releasing, right? That there are layers that have to be released, and that there's a group, a seeming group of individuals that have done these things to each other, and right in this dimension of separation, that they've done these things, and so they come in together so that they can support each other, but also so that they can forgive each other.
Yeah, and I think that's important, but also keeping in mind like groups like that too, it can be really easy to start to specialize those relationships.
And right.
Just to caution against it. Like I had one experience, you know, I went through this leadership program, which is pretty powerful. And, you know, there's a lot of love in the group that they create. But I think what happened out of that is, as a group, we tended to kind of have this ego thing going on of like, we're special. Our group is special. We're great as a group. And, you know, ultimately the group completely disintegrated. Right. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, I think a lot of people are looking for community, which is great. And I think, you know, there are those soul group things, but also keep in mind that, you know, everybody in the world is your soul group, really, because we come from the one soul.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, if you have this group that you might feel connected with and really able to look at healing and love, and you know, that group is a place where you can really go through and do your work together and whatever, and you feel safe and comfortable to do that with the intention to be able to radiate that out into the world, right?
Yep.
Your group isn't any better than the other group, just like we were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
And if there's another group over here that likes to do it this way, blessings and love to them, right? That's awesome. You know what I mean? They get to do it that way, but we do it this way or whatever, and eventually the fences will all be down and we'll all do it together.
Yeah, that's why I think A Course in Miracles study groups are really interesting, I guess, places, experiences to really be able to practice the Course in forgiveness, because I think like any group, you find people that really click and get along, and then there'll be those occasional people that come in that clearly aren't on the same wavelength, I guess might be the way to say it, and can be disruptive. And
every group is different even, right, in how they do that. People will email me and say, hey, I'm interested in your group, you know, can we, you know. One thing is people will often ask, is it open? Which is a bizarre thing, right? It's like, oh, what do you mean? Yeah. No, we're not accepting new members, you know, whatever, right? Which I guess some of them are, which is fine, right? But that is a question, right? Yep. But then also, I'm always like, well, there's one over here. Sure, you can come join us. And if you feel like it and you feel connected and you feel comfortable, then, you know, absolutely. But, you know, there's one on Thursday nights over here, and there's one over here that I know of, right? And I don't really know all of them, and I don't really pay attention to it, but they're all over. And so, you know, find the one that fits for you. And, you know, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Do what works.
Do what works, man. It's all good.
Well.
But yeah. Well, I mean, I was just thinking back to when we had our study group and we were actually physically in the same room, Sheldon. We had a couple people, at least that I remember, that came in, and it kind of could tell some of the group, it rubbed some of the group a little bit wrong, the wrong way, I guess, and just had to, you know, deal with. Like, it's interesting because you're trying to take care of the people in the group, but also realizing that, hey, this is a great forgiveness lesson for everybody, and trying to balance those two out.
Right. And you know, that's like, there's never a separation between your spiritual life and your life.
Exactly.
It's all part of your spiritual life, right?
Yeah, it is.
So it's always all an opportunity.
Every moment is an...
Damn it!
Yeah. That's what I was just thinking. But, I don't know, like, some days definitely are way easier than others, at least. I know I'm kind of going... I tend to go through cycles. I'm on my second cycle incorporation, and I can feel, like, the old feelings that I had like before I left the first time. And I'm really sitting with that instead of trying to run away and go, yep, well, I guess I should just quit again. I just really want to sit through it. I want to get through this cycle without being so disruptive this time and look for the ways to practice forgiveness and actually see if I can enjoy my time as well.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Kind of.
Not, maybe not fun.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, seriously, right? Yeah, it's like you were, we had talked about at the beginning of the show, just sort of trust, right? Just sitting with it, trusting, listening to the whispers as well, as much as I can, and see what happens this time rather than just react out of ego and and bolt, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's bringing awareness into everything that comes up.
Yep. Sitting, yeah, and sitting with the uncomfortableness at times.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Stuff like that.
Stuff like that. We were talking about Matt Kahn last time, right? The I feel versus before the because. Did we talk about that?
I don't recall. If we did, I don't remember.
Well, my memory span is about 30 minutes, so.
All right.
I'm at work and people are like, yeah, I reminded you about this twice already. Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know you're into Matt Kahn a lot. I know a lot of people are. I've listened to a few of his stuff. I just haven't been called to.
So he, one of the things he had, and it was a Facebook thing, posted up, you know, a couple paragraphs of writing, and it was like the I feel, you know, speaking your truth, right? And people will do that as a way to attack people. This is my truth, right? And he's like, the speaking your truth is about feeling your truth, right?
Mm.
But he's like, the expression of your truth is the I feel before the because. Everything after the because is the justification and the attack.
Mm-hmm.
Like the victimhood, because you did this to me, because you did it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you said that's, but the I feel is I feel hurt or I, you know, I'm in anger right now and anger's coming up, all this stuff. You have to allow those feelings to express up and then release. That's what you're releasing to the Holy Spirit. All of the stuff that comes up. So if you say, I don't feel that, I'm fine, right? That's just when you're repressing stuff. So you have to allow the feelings to come up without getting into the attack side of it and the emotion of it, right? And that's the trick. That's the hard part, right? And so it was kind of cool. I like that because I feel is the part and then the because is the other half. But we always get into the I feel this way because. And that's very easy to flow into. So I really like that as a really clean way to look at allowing yourself the expression and the feelings, right, without getting into the justification is what I always said.
Mm-hmm. It's like reinforcing it, yeah.
Right, because then you get into this cycle of attack and all of that. But, you know. And so that's where the conscious awareness comes in that we were, you know, you were talking about being aware of things coming up for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like seeing that, going, wow, watching it, you know what I mean? And then sometimes we get caught completely in it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Of course, right? But then even afterwards, you can say, wow, I see how that played out, or I see that happen, I see what I did, or I see that, you know, where I got caught. But that's bringing awareness to things. And that awareness allows you to surrender things, because when you don't, when you're not aware, then you can't even do anything with it.
Right. Yep.
So the awareness, while it's just the start, it's a huge thing, right? You have to have that. You have to become consciously aware of all this stuff and the way it's playing.
Awareness is key.
It's key.
And speaking of awareness, I think we're getting close to the end of our show here. So I wanted Sheldon to give you an opportunity, and I might mention one thing too. what's going on at Arts Unity Movement or anything on your side?
Well, we've just redesigned our website, so I'd love everybody to take a look at it. It's still at artsunitymovement.com. I believe we're in the process of purchasing the artsunitymovement.org, and because we are a nonprofit organization, so really we should be under .org, but we're going to get the .org and then switch it over. But right now it's under artsunitymovement.com. It's recently been redesigned, and really liking the look and feel of it. You can buy tickets on through the website. You can find out about Course in Miracles is on there, posted under classes. We have workshops and things like that that we're gearing towards the corporate environment. So we're going in stealth mode into the corporations and just talking about energy and relaxation and mindfulness and things like that, and doing it in a way we're packaging some teachings in a way that are more acceptable to mainstream corporate America.
Awesome.
So,
yeah, and speaking of corporate America, I'll just mention the book that I wrote last year, Forgiveness, Inc., and that's really about applying A Course in Miracles and forgiveness while you're at your day job, essentially. So check it out, Amazon.com.
Absolutely. Awesome, awesome.
Well, cool. Another show.
Under the belt.
In the can.
In the can. Yeah.
Well, sorry to all those that we couldn't be live this weekend, but glad for those of you that are listening. And next time we will be live in June, and we look forward to chatting with you then.
Awesome, awesome.
All right, love you, brother.
Love you, brother. Thank you so much, everybody, and have a good one. Rock
take care, and we'll talk to you
soon. Rock it hard.
All right.